Today on Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
He never wanted to become anything he ever created till he created us. Now I'm gonna shock, make somebody mad. Why? Because we were perfection. Go with me today to the book of St. John, chapter 1. The book of St. John, chapter 1. I want to talk a little bit about kind of a different way of this Christmas message. The Lord gave me just a few points here. And in St. John, chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God." I like that. "The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." So evolution didn't do that, did it? God Almighty did. Now I want to go to verse 14 of St. John. Now I want you to look at this. We have been taught for millenniums and centuries how bad our flesh is. And we've thought if we would beat it to pieces, subject it hard, that God would be pleased. Yet the Bible said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Yes. Back in the 1500s and 1600s, people would almost starve to death in honor of God when he said, your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. Shouldn't be starving to death. The title of this little message today is "The Idea of God Needs to be Altered." And I want you to think about that for a few minutes. Now watch what God did in St. John chapter 1, verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh." Well, if flesh is so bad, why was God made flesh? Well, when was he made flesh? Hold that part right there. Go with me to Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read the same thing Kathy did. This is when he was made flesh. I want you to think about that. St. Luke chapter 2. And I love this, and it's just such a blessing. And there was in verse 8 of Luke chapter 2, verse 8, "And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about of them. And they were so afraid, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Not just joy, but great joy, which shall be to all people. It wasn't just to the Jews. It was to the whole world. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Not a judge, but a Savior. Now, he's going to become a judge, but he's still a Savior. And when you see that, and I like it, verse 12, and "this shall be a sign to him. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Now, go back to St. John chapter 1, verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." You see, we used to just beat our flesh up for millennia. You know, when Christianity, and a lot of Eastern religions do the same thing, that if we would suffer enough, we'd make this flesh right. Well, if it's so bad, why did God get inside of it? Now, the Bible said there's no good thing in the flesh. Why? Well, when God's not in there, there's no good thing in the flesh. But when you accept Christ as Lord and Savior, the flesh starts to get pretty good, because that's the temple of the Holy Ghost. So when he was made flesh, you can write it down if you're taking a little notes. When he was made flesh, it assured us. What did it assure us? That Christmas Day belongs not to time, but to eternity. We're going to be celebrating this every day for eternity. In fact, the word day will cease to be in the vocabulary. In other words, I am that I am and was will always be. So notice, when he was made flesh, it assured us that Christmas Day belongs not to time, but to eternity. That's a powerful thing. So there's something inside of me that makes the outside of me right. Amen. Because God will want to dwell, and God will not dwell in no unclean thing. That's why he gave us grace. See, so the idea of God needs to be altered. Instead of beating up the flesh, St. Francis of Assisi heard a man, one of his disciples, he said he was starving to death, you know, trying to humble himself. John Assisi said, eat, present your body a living sacrifice, not a dead one. Think about that. So that the Christ in you could be seen gloriously everywhere. So Christmas is not in time. It's in eternity. Let me say it again. When he was made flesh, it assured us, I like that, that Christmas day belongs not to time, but to eternity. He says, I begin to look at God in a whole different manner, altered my idea of God and the idea of myself. Because when you see me, Jesus said, you see the Father, right? But the Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. And God says, be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children. So if you subject and you crucify your flesh daily instead of Sunday, you allow Christ. See, flesh did more of showing God to you than anything else. I'm shocking you this morning. Yeah. See, because for centuries we've always said, beat this. No. What happened? With Christ in you, so that's the only Jesus some people ever going to see. And they're going to see that Christ in you so assuredly that Christmas is not a time factor. It's an eternity factor. Yes. Write this down. Christ in us is the dwelling place of God. Ooh, the place of revelation. The meeting place of God and man. You know where, you want to know where God and man meets? Right here. Even with my red shoes on. What you think of them Santa Claus shoes? Ain't that something? Yeah, get a shot of that. Praise God. So when you see that, God and man meets inside of you. And he doesn't dwell in an ugly place. Let me say it again. Christ in us is the dwelling place of God. The place of revelation, revealed knowledge, know what to do, when to do it, where to do it, and how to do it. Revelation, my God, revealed to us on a daily basis. Watch this, you don't have to go to the throne to get it. God inside of you is right there. The meeting place of God and man. So when I went in my chapel this morning and took Holy Communion to celebrate his birthday, God was in there and so was I. And we had a wonderful little fellowship and conversation of just how good. And I always thought flesh is so bad. God told me, he said, then why would I want to dwell in it? You hadn't heard that before, have you? No. You see, because you see, he cleans up flesh. When God is not inside you, flesh is bad. You see what I'm saying? So God don't just jump in and you jump out and jump in, jump out. You know, like a lot of quote Pentecostals believe that. My God, if you cuss and you died, you're going to hell. Well, whatever happened to grace and mercy? Now, you shouldn't be cussing. There's so many other words in the vocabulary you could use, especially in a dictionary. If you can't find one, you know, quit using them ugly words and get some good ones. Like if you think something bad, don't say just say, that's odious. Now, y'all don't even know what odious is. And neither do I, but it sounded good, didn't it? Praise God. Christ in us is the dwelling place of God, the place of revelation. The meeting place of God and man. Ooh, isn't that something? And the Word was made flesh. Why did God want to get inside of us? Because we were just that good. When he created us, he never wanted to become an angel. Think about that. He never wanted to become a seraphim. That's that winged, six wings. He never wanted to become an archangel. He never wanted to become anything he ever created till he created us. Now I'm going to shock, make somebody mad. Why? Because we were perfection at his best. Let us make man in our image. What's a man? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Hallelujah. That's why he said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Why? Because I live in there. Yeah. So quit thinking you're bad, because you're not. God don't live in the ghetto of mankind. Evidently, he thinks you a mansion. Uh-oh. Not a trailer. And ain't nothing wrong with a trailer. But a mansion. See, that's why prejudice should never be. Because everyone you see is a temple that God is dwelling or going to dwell if they let him. Oh, isn't this good? See, the idea of God needs to be altered. That he thinks you're so bad. No, let me say it again. When he was made flesh, it assured us that Christmas Day belongs not to time, but to eternity. And Christ in us is the dwelling place of God, the place of revelation, the meeting place of God and man. Oh, Lord. So when Christ comes in you, you hear this. Christmas is the beginning of Christ's human life. He was made a baby. But the beginning of his, but not the beginning of his existence. He always was. But when he made us, he said, oh, I got to become what I made so I can dwell there. Boy, isn't that something? That's why angels or ministering spirits sent the minister to you. Good Lord. And the original text of what is man that I'm mindful of him, and the son of man that I visit him, that I have made him a little lower than the angels, that's a mistranslation. If you read it, it says he made you a little lower than God. Your spirit is occupied by God's spirit. Do you see that? Now, you keep your flesh under subjection. And you present your body because it's a temple of the Holy Ghost. A man asked me, why don't you drink, Brother Jesse? I don't want my spirit getting loaded. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I submit myself to his in everything we do, spiritually, physically, financially. Why haven't you had scandals? I've had preachers tell, so you've never messed around with a woman? I thought, my God, man, are you crazy? You want God to check out your hotel so you can go do your stuff and let him check back in after a while? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. See, this place is where God and man meets. Oh. So Christmas is the dwelling place of God, the place of revelation, the meeting place of God and man. Christmas is the beginning of Christ's human life, but not the beginning of his existence. Ooh, man. So I begin to think it altered my way of thinking about God. And by altering my way of thinking about God, I altered my way of thinking about myself. Do you see what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. See, I took on his name. When Jody was born, they asked me, what is her name? She took my name. She had no name when she was born. I had no name when I was born. God always had a name. And he placed his name upon us, in us. So when you see that, then you'll understand this. When Jesus was born, the possibilities of human nature begin to be realized. Now, I'm going to make somebody mad. Watch this. Let me say it again. When Jesus was born, the possibilities of human nature began to be realized. I didn't realize how good I was, how good I could become, how much better I could become with Christ in me, the hope of glory. That I could be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in and blessed going out. Or I could bless someone in the city, bless someone in the field, bless someone going in, bless someone going out. See, when the name came, it changed. I have a prime example today. This little girl. She was born. But something happened to her. She took your name. She was adopted. Like as if she was biologically came from your body. Because an adopted child has the same legal rights as a biological child. Well, guess what happened to us? We was adopted. God came to the Jew, and I love the Jewish people, always will, but they rejected him. So God said, okay, I'm still going to love you, but I'm going to adopt the Gentile. So I have the same legal right as any blood-bought biological Jew. Do you see that? That's why I can't hate someone because of the color of their skin or nationality or creed. Why? Because Christ dwells in them. The place where God and man meets. I love that statement. The place where revelation is spoken. My God. Ooh. Ooh, man, think about that. And begin to understand my human life began. See, let me say again, when Jesus was born, the possibilities of human nature began to be realized. Now, how did that happen? In Christ, we breathe a new air. What happened? We have crossed the new boundary line. So I'm going to say something going to shock you. When you see me, you see the Father. You see the Son. You see the Holy Ghost. You see God incarnate. It's called the incarnation. That's what John thought. In the beginning, he had to take it all the way back there. In the beginning was the Word. In other words, he was always, but his human life began when Mary said, "Let this be even as thou hadst said." See, God couldn't come into anyone without faith. That's why I love Mary and I honor Mary. Always will. Just like, see, the Catholics honor Mary and the Protestants honor the Apostle Paul. Almost to the point of deity. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Listen to me. You know it's true. You see, and we get a little mad. And, oh, I can tell. Had a little kickback right there. Or if say something about Mary. Well, would you like anybody saying something bad about your mama? I don't think so. See my point? Say, do you worship her? No, I didn't say that. I don't worship the Apostle Paul. But I tell you one thing. Out of all the women that was born before her, while she was on the earth, in a way, there was nobody like Mary. Mary, did you know? Ooh, that's something to kind of want to get to. You talk about some flesh. And then God said, I'm going to become what I made. That's why we're the only species that can sit down in the presence of God. Michael the Archangel can't, Gabriel can't. The wheel within the wheel in Ezekiel cannot. Think about it. All have to bow, but you sit in heavenly places with him. It's the place where God and man meets. So in Christ we breathe a new air. We have crossed the new boundary line. So you're mad at me because I'm blessed? Well, I'm just acting like my dad. Because he's blessed. You're mad at me because I live in a mansion? I'm just acting like my father. Because he's living in a mansion. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching. Oh, man, he just never gets sick. Well, I'm just acting like my father. He took my infirmity. Boy, he didn't want, watch this. He didn't want sickness on the flesh. Why? Because he dwelt in it. And dwells in it. He doesn't visit. He dwells. It's a habitation. Isn't that amazing? Different way of looking at God. A different way of looking at yourself. Well, what about your friend? When you make a mistake, you repent. That's not the issue. In other words, your flesh should be controlled by you, not your flesh controlling you. You see what I'm saying? See, you're crossing a boundary line that Christianity cannot. The Buddhism cannot. The Islam cannot. It's always no. See, that's the religion. No, God says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Woo! With your petition and supplication with thanksgiving. Come on, let's have a sit down, like the Italians say. Do you see what I'm saying? Let me say it again. In Christ we breathe a new air. We have crossed a new boundary line. So you can say what you want. I think a lot. I think very good things about me. Let me say that again, because some of y'all didn't quite get that. I think a lot of good things about me, because Christ in me, the hope of glory. You call it bragging? I call it dwelling. He dwells in me, and I dwell in him. Some people get mad because I said something about a watch the other day. You know why? Because they don't have one, I guess. They don't realize, would you got mad if you saw God wearing a fine watch? No. Would you be mad at Queen Elizabeth when she wore her crown, even though she was a queen? No. You see, God dwelt and dwells in us. It's a different way of looking at him. The idea of God needs to be altered. He said, the word was made flesh. Let me read that St. John 1:14 again. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Oh, man, that's good. Now, watch it. We beheld his glory in the flesh. This is not at the throne of God. This is just, but that's Jesus. Ephesians 5:1, be ye therefore imitators of God. They should be amazed at your glory. Oh, Lord, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was the first begotten of the dead. You got a number? What's your number? Do you see what I'm saying? We got a number. How many of you born again? You got a number. You don't have to go in line and get a number to pick one. You got a number. I'm so excited about this month's partner offer. It's my message, God is in love with us. Do you know how much God really loves you? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Think about that, his son for you. This Christmas message is full of revelation about God's perfect love for you. How do I get it? Go to jdm.org to order your copy today. You will be blessed.
Welcome to Glorious Moments. I pray that your heart will be filled with praise to God today for all that he has done and is doing in the lives of people all over the world. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 in the New Living Translation says, so we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. Let's rejoice together over these praise reports and give God glory for moving in such miraculous ways. Let's start with this one. The letter the Lord allowed you to write to me continues to be used as a point of contact and confession of faith. It continues to produce the Lord's amazing results. A situation dealing with inheritance taxes was eliminated. Then another situation was fixed where I'm no longer financially bound to a parent loan for one of my children. They have, by the grace of God, stepped in and are now paying the loan's monthly payments. In your letter, you spoke of the Lord giving supernatural favor to cut or completely eliminate debt. That is happening. Amen to that. You know, it always amazes me how the monthly partner letters that God leads Jesse to write are changing lives everywhere. Thank you for writing that in. Now, here's another glorious moment, and this one has been translated into English. It says, thank you, Pastor Duplantis, for your sermons that are so filled with God, and thank you, JDM, for the excellent Spanish translation. Thank you. Now, here's another powerful praise report. It says, Jesse, you have no idea how much you have helped me. Thanks to our Jesus for your teachings. Gratitude and celebrations from India. Hallelujah. I love that. And here's one more. It says, your faith, the facts, messages are a fantastic and masterful encouragement. Jesse is a master encourager. Thank you, Jesse. Praise God. You know, I agree. Jesse always says that encouragement is the oxygen to the soul. So thank you, viewers, for taking the time to listen to these glorious moments. I believe that his glorious grace is being poured out on you today and every day. So until next time, Jesse and I are praying for you, and God bless.
Do you know that every born-again believer has a God-given right to receive overwhelming blessings from God? In my book, Overwhelmed, you'll be challenged to say no to limited thinking by understanding all that belongs to you.
It's your birthright to experience overwhelming favor in every area of your life. Order your physical copy or digital download for your donation of $5 or more at jdm.org.
It's time to be overwhelmed in a good way by God's power. Get your copy and be blessed. Ladies and gentlemen, Christmas Day belongs to eternity. We're going to celebrate the day Christ was made flesh forever. Christ in us, dwelling in us, that is a great revelation of God. And that's the meeting place between God and man. Christ in you, not on you, not just around you, but in you.
Oh, that's a powerful, powerful statement when you understand that. There's a lot more to this message that you didn't get to see today. You can watch it in its full entirety on our free JDM app. So I hope you can go there and get it all. Praise God. Our product offer is our book, Overwhelmed. I love this book. I don't use the word blessing anymore. I use the word overwhelmed when it comes to the blessing of God in my life. Now, when you hear the word overwhelmed, most people think it's something bad. No, no, I'm not talking about something bad being overwhelmed with, you know, junk in life. I'm talking about a tsunami of blessing. That's what it means to be overwhelmed spiritually, physically, financially. If you want to experience God's abundant goodness, I encourage you to get your copy at jdm.org. You will be blessed. I mean that sincerely. Partners, thank you for your glorious financial support. I've said it so many times, 49 years of preaching this gospel, we've never had a financial deficit. Why? Because I trust you, and you trust me, and we both trust God. My staff behind the cameras hear that all the time. Praise God, because it's good. Trust works. Hallelujah. And I mean that sincerely. Thank you for your faithful financial support. You've heard me say it so many times, for every dollar given to this ministry, Lord, I want a soul into the kingdom. The other day, a person gave us $4,000. That's a lot of money. And he said, I'm believing for 4,000 souls. I said, you're going to get it too. There's no other choice in the matter because this ministry is global. It is reaching people, changing lives one soul at a time. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope you enjoyed it. Go to our free JDM app. You can see this whole message in its entirety. You will be blessed. Get that Overwhelmed book. I'm telling you, it will help you to receive the things that God wants you to receive. Not when you get to heaven. Here, His will be done. Where? In earth, on earth, as it is in heaven. Jesse Duplantis saying, I love you. I really do. Don't miss next week's show, okay? May God richly bless you. I'll see you again. Bye-bye.
We're stronger than we know. We're bolder than we know. We're courageous in Jesus.
Kathy Duplantis's Glorious, a conference for women.
Women are not second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. Jesus came and set us all free.
Glorious, a conference for women, March 6th and 7th, 2026. For more information and free registration, go to jdm.org.
Are you ready to experience the Christmas story like never before? In his book, The Most Wonderful Time of the Year, Jesse Duplantis delivers an insightful, fresh look at the manger and beyond. You'll be inspired to have a higher life of faith as he explores the mysterious ways God moves. Get ready to elevate your character with the characters of Christmas, the most wonderful time of the year. Uncommon lessons from the Christmas story. Order your copy at jdm.org today.
To me, the full expression of the Holy Spirit is everything you know in your spirit, soul, and body, whether it's in season or out of season. Because everything the Bible says is an answer and not a problem. You understand what I'm saying? The world has a lot of problems, but this Bible is actually, you could call it the answer book.
Thank you for watching today. For more information about Jesse Duplantis Ministries, go to jdm.org.